your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 this morning. And if you don't have your own Bible, there's a blue Bible under a chair in front of you. And this is going to be on page 901. Page 901, John chapter 14. Well, John 14:27 has been one of my favorite verses in the Bible for well over a decade. So we're going to be in John 14, just verse 27 only today, as I think we need to hear this promise of peace from Jesus regularly. And then Jared August will be preaching next Sunday, and then we'll be at the beginning of John 14 the Sunday after that. So today we are going to focus on this promise of peace that Jesus gives us in John 14:27. I want to share with you a time that this verse, John 14:27, became very precious to me. When I started seminary, Melanie and I went through all of the major stresses that you can go through besides death and divorce. We had moved to a new state and a new apartment where we basically knew no one. We both were trying to start new jobs, and both of us were looking for work. I was beginning graduate school, and we were 5 months pregnant with our first child, Tobias. And right before we had moved from New Mexico to California and left jobs that we both enjoyed and a church family that cared deeply about us, we had major car trouble that ate up most of the savings that we had managed to scrape together that were supposed to get us by a little bit in seminary. And I had been looking for work for months, work that would go together with my seminary schedule, but all of the leads that I had by the time we moved had fallen through and I had to start from scratch. And so Melanie's starting work, I'm starting school, I just made it through my week of orientation, the first week of classes, and I still did not have a job. Our finances were shrieking. Then there was a heat wave that came through California. I think it had been the worst heat wave in decades. It was 120 degrees. And I had the day off that day, and I desperately knew that I needed to get resumes out because no one was responding to my emails. So I went out in a little Geo Metro convertible, no air conditioning, and did the best that I could to stay hydrated, but I almost passed out and was having trouble breathing. Well, not long after that, I took a one-day job to earn a little money on a day off and painted someone's home in one of their rooms. And as I painted, the heat wave was continuing, and I started to not feel well again. By that evening, I was unable to breathe and hardly move. And a seminary friend who lived in an apartment nearby had to come and help Melanie get me into the car and go to the ER. And what shocked me, though, was when I got to the ER, they said, you know, you're a little dehydrated, but they said, what you are experiencing right now is a panic attack. And I couldn't believe it. I had never had problems with a panic attack before or anything like that. And so I followed up with a doctor, and even though I took some medication, my doctor encouraged me to stay off of it when possible due to side effects. And he said, what I want you to do, because I think it's just all the stress in your life right now in this season, is I want you to breathe into a paper bag when a panic attack hits and see if that will take care of it for you. So I followed my doctor's advice, and here I was. I found myself, my first semester of seminary, I'm starting school to train to be a pastor, and randomly I would have to step out of class and go into a bathroom stall and breathe into a paper bag. And the verse that I would quote to myself as I breathed into that bag was today's verse. I would quote this to myself over and over and over today, and it's the reason that I want to share this verse with you today, because maybe you need the peace and encouragement from Jesus that I needed as I went through that season. Here's what Jesus said. Here's what I would quote to myself as I was breathing into that bag. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And I would quote John 14:27 to myself over and over day after day that first semester, but I didn't quote it as a magic formula. I was quoting it as a man who was desperate for help from Jesus, and knowing that Jesus promised that I could have his peace, and that because of the resurrection, he's alive today in heaven and able to help us today. And I share all this with you this morning because I don't know exactly where you are at, but as I talk with you and as I talk with other people, we are all experiencing just a strange time where it feels like in some ways that the world has been turned upside down. And whether you are in panic attack mode or just struggling to find the peace that Jesus promises in uncertain times, I want you to see what Jesus promises to us here in John 14, 27. The first thing that we're going to see is that the peace that we are promised is part of our inheritance from Jesus. Notice what Jesus says at the beginning of this verse. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." This is part of our inheritance from Jesus. When Jesus shared this, he was leaving his disciples. This is why he said, "Peace I leave with you." Just to remind you where we've been in John, we know that Jesus was headed to the cross the next day. And so take a look, if you have your Bible open, and remind yourself of where we've been at the end of John 13. Jesus is talking to his disciples in the upper room here in John chapter 14. So he's just finished the Passover meal with them, and he's fulfilled it by changing it into a reminder of the new covenant. And then he will go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray before he's arrested, brought to trial illegally, and then crucified. So here, what we have here is Jesus is literally, physically leaving his disciples, and they are scared. And so he makes sure that they know and that we know that he is leaving something for us that is our inheritance that we have access to because of what he would do on the cross the next day, looking back because of what he did on the cross and in his resurrection for us. And that inheritance that he offers to us, that he was offering to the disciples here, is his peace. We can take ownership of this promise of peace if we choose to. Think of it this way. Let's say that one of your relatives leaves you a lake house in their will, and you get one of those certified letters from their lawyer, and you think, oh man, somebody's suing me, or I'm going to owe somebody money. And you open it up, you find out that you actually were in your relative's will, and you have been gifted their lake house. Wouldn't that be amazing? But here's the thing. If you receive an inheritance, you have to take possession of that inheritance. You have to receive that inheritance, or else it doesn't belong to you, right? We have to accept the gift of Jesus' peace, just as we would have to accept any other inheritance. And we'll see more about that as we work our way through here. But second, think of it this way too. You could be the new owner of that lake house that you've inherited, but let's just say that you live 1,000 miles away from it, and so it just sits there, and you hardly ever enter into it to enjoy it. In a similar way, Jesus has left us this peace, but we have to choose to enter into it. We have to make daily choices to take hold of the promises of the gospel that are ours because of what Jesus has done. Listen to this, Isaiah 26:3, it says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And then it goes on to the next verse. We know that verse quite often, Isaiah 26:3. But it says in the next verse, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior today, I want to invite you into this inheritance that Jesus offers to you. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you see what it's saying there in Romans 5:1? It's saying the reason you can have peace, the peace of Christ is because that peace has been won for you on the cross, because you need to be justified. You need to be made right before God. Our sin separates us from God. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sins of those who will trust in him. He paid for all of those sins so that you can have a relationship with God now and heaven forever. But what we have to do is, by faith, we have to trust that Jesus has done this for us on the cross and in his resurrection. And because of that, we can have peace with God. Let me read it one more time. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. Isn't that beautiful? It's not because we earned it. It's a gift we see in other places, by faith through grace. And then it goes on in Romans 5:1. Because of this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just to drive it home a little more, and the importance of coming to Jesus to receive this inheritance, take a look at John 14 right in front of you. This is the passage, Lord willing, that we'll be at two Sundays from now, the same chapter that we're in. John 14, verse 1, I'm going to read 1 through 6. Jesus says something similar in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. John 14, verse 4, and you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus tells him, listen to this, John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Very simply put, Jesus is saying in verse 6, Jesus is the way to heaven. So it starts with having the peace of God that comes through knowing Jesus, coming to him as the only way to the Father, as Jesus just said in John 14, 6. And then we were able to go into that peace and take inheritance of that once it's been granted to us through Jesus. And it's hard. So the reason I shared that personal, very private story with you at the beginning is because we can have this inheritance, but it's a struggle in life, isn't it? And it's hard to enter into that sometimes. And so what does Jesus tell us? Look at verse 1 again of John 14. He says, trust in God, trust also in me. Some of your translations say, believe in God, believe also in me. This is how we obtain this peace. We know God through knowing Jesus. So we believe in Jesus, and we believe that God knows us and is holding on to us. So it starts with peace with God, and then we are able to have the peace of God in our lives. The Bible teacher Harry Ironside told of a story during the Civil War that I think is helpful, to me anyway, to understand this. At the close of the Civil War, a troop of Federal cavalry were riding along a road between Richmond, Virginia, and Washington, D.C., and suddenly they saw this pathetic-looking soldier in these ragtag Confederate uniform come out of the bushes, and he said, will you please help me? I need help. I'm starving to death. And the captain of the Northern Army replied, why don't you just go into Richmond and get what you need? And the soldier explained, he said, 3 weeks ago, I became so discouraged from our losses that I deserted from the Southern Army. And I've been hiding in the woods ever since, gradually making my way north. If I am caught by Southern soldiers, I will be shot for desertion during a time of war. Haven't you heard the news? The captain explained. The war is over. Peace has been made. General Lee surrendered to General Grant 2 weeks ago. And the story goes that the soldier said, what? Peace has been made for 2 weeks, and I've been starving in the woods because I didn't know it. Friends, Jesus made peace for us 2,000 years ago. And so that's one of the things that we do in churches. We remind ourselves that Jesus has made peace for us. The work has been done. The war is over. You do not have to make peace with God. You just have to trust in God's provision for your peace and salvation. Jesus is the one who made peace for us. Are we trusting in it? Are we receiving that inheritance? First, in knowing God through believing in Jesus for salvation, and then in taking hold of that inheritance that's promised to us. Next, I want us to see the peace that we are promised is the peace of Jesus himself. Take a look at verse 27 again. He says, "Peace I leave with you," and then he goes on, "My peace I give to you." Have you ever noticed that? My peace, Jesus says. This is not just any peace. This is the peace of Jesus himself. For the Greeks, as often for us, peace basically meant the absence of war. But for the Jews, it had more the idea of a positive blessing from God. And this is what we have available to us because of Jesus. He's basically saying shalom. It's the common greeting. They still use this in Israel to say hello and goodbye. And so Jesus is basically saying shalom, farewell, but also giving them his peace that he himself experiences right here. If you go along with us as we study these chapters from John 13, we started a few Sundays ago, through John 17, or if you read them on your own, this is known as the Upper Room Discourse. And in some ways, what Jesus is doing here in these five chapters is he's saying shalom. He's saying farewell to his followers. He's leaving his peace as his goodbye present for them. And it's his peace. But it would get better. I want you to notice this. When he saw them, when he rose from the dead, he used the same word again. Now imagine that shalom. Imagine that peace. They are concerned because Jesus is leaving. But later, when he rises from the dead and appears in his resurrection body, he says the same thing to them again. Risen from the dead, having conquered death and showing that the price was paid on the cross and that God had accepted the price for atonement for sin, that all was made right, the war was over. So he took this common phrase of greeting and farewell, basically hello and goodbye, and he changed it by infusing it with his resurrection power. And in the context of John chapter 14, we're going to see in a few weeks the importance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was leaving, but the reason that we can have peace, as we're going to see later in John 14, is because the Holy Spirit was coming, and catch this, it would get even better. Why? Because we're going to see in John 14, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the helper or the comforter. So having Jesus on earth was really nice, but when he was on earth in his body, he was only with one group of people at one time. And when the Holy Spirit came, what Jesus is going to show them later in John 14, it's better because he is always with us. In fact, the Holy Spirit is in us. And so Jesus is completely acceptable. He's right next to you, even in you, is how the Bible says it, if you know Christ. Think about it. One of the hardest things to experience is to feel that you are utterly and completely alone. And then here's why you can have the peace of Jesus himself, no matter what situation you are in, is because Jesus is promising here that you always have the Holy Spirit with you if you know Jesus. What an incredible truth. In 14 different epistles, 14 different letters of the New Testament, it says this, grace to you and what? Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we combine this with the fact that peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, we see so clearly that peace is a gift to us from our one God. All three members of the Trinity are involved in this. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're going to see in John 14 later, and we see in the fruit of the Spirit that we access this peace in our day-to-day lives through knowing Jesus because we're given the Holy Spirit and he is with us. So this is the very peace of God himself that we can experience. It's Jesus's own peace. And why? Remember, because peace with God brings the peace of God. Imagine having the very peace of Jesus. Now, I think this is really helpful to us because we go through life and we struggle, right? And we have difficulty with different things. And I just want to encourage you in this is Jesus, again, never having sinned, experienced great trials at times. That same night that he spoke this, he would be so stressed as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane and looked ahead to what he would experience on the cross, not just physically, but spiritually also pain for sin, that he sweat great drops of blood. And yet the next day during his trial, they would beat him and taunt him, and he would do nothing back because he had perfect peace. He had experienced that peace by going to the Father with it in his humanity and laying it all before the Father and relying him, just giving himself into God the Father's hands. So the peace that we are promised, we've seen, is part of our inheritance from Jesus. We've seen that it's part of what we are promised is the peace of Jesus himself. And then next, I want you to see the peace we are promised is better than the world's peace. Look at what Jesus says next, verse 27. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Now, when we were in the book of Hebrews, do you remember when we studied Hebrews verse by verse? What word came up often in Hebrews talking about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done? The word better. The word better. And here we see Jesus leaving a better peace than anything the world can offer. Many of you have heard of the Pax Romana. It's the famous Roman peace. Well, guess how they kept that peace? It was always by the sword. You do this, you do what we say because we are the Roman Empire or else. And that's how they kept their peace. As long as they lined up with their demands, they would have peace. And so many thought there would need to be a military uprising to bring in the messianic kingdom, but Jesus instead went and died as an innocent man, even though he was treated as a criminal, and it's through his cross that we are brought peace, peace that is better than all the world's attempts at peace. Catch this. In the last 5,500 years, I find this fascinating. I enjoy history. Somebody estimated that there have been more than 8,000 peace treaties that have been broken. More than one a year for thousands of years, peace treaties that have been broken. And in fact, more than 14,000 wars have been fought just in the last 5,500 years with a combined total of about 4 billion casualties. And so it's just a simple fact when we think about what Jesus is promising here, that what Jesus promises is not something the world can offer. And then think of this, the peace of Jesus never expires. It's not a treaty that can be broken. It's a covenant that Jesus sealed with his blood. That's the kind of peace that we can have. Listen to what William Barclay says about this verse. This is gold. He says, "The peace which the world offers us is the peace of escape, the peace which comes from the avoidance of trouble and from refusing to face things. The peace which Jesus offers us is the peace of conquest. No experience of life can ever take it from us, and no sorrow, no danger, no suffering can ever make it less." So see, one of the differences with Jesus's peace is the peace that the world offers is somehow just escaping our trials. But here's the thing that's different about Christianity. As Christians, the Bible never tells us that we're necessarily going to escape our trials on earth. It tells us we face those trials with the confidence that Jesus is with us, with the confidence that we have the Holy Spirit in us, with the confidence that we have peace with God, and so we can face whatever trials we are going through with peace. There was a common belief system during Jesus's time. You know, you had the Jews that we so often think about in the Gospels, but then you had the Greeks who Jesus also interacted with. And one of the belief systems that was really common at that time was a belief that said, you know, don't worry, because the gods, if there is such a thing as the gods, they won't take notice of you. So they were big on finding peace, but it was apart from God. It was kind of like, the reason you can have peace is because if there are such a thing as gods, they don't really care about what you do. So just go do your thing and find your own peace. Does that sound familiar? I mean, isn't that exactly what we so often hear today? If there is a God, just do your own thing that brings you peace, and, you know, you'll be okay because he doesn't really care. No, what Jesus is teaching us here is there is a God, and he loves you so much that he sent his son to give you peace, even at a great cost to himself, through the death of his only son. And the way you can know that peace is through knowing him, knowing his loving care for you, and knowing joy because he is joy. Lastly, I want us to see that the peace that we are promised is the antidote for fear. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, "Peace I leave with you," back to verse 27. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." If you have your Bible open, take another look back at verse 1, again, at the beginning of chapter 14. We see, we're reminded again, Jesus has already been talking about this theme. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." He says it again, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Jesus tells us this out of love. Remember, he's speaking tenderly to this group of men. We saw last week the surprising fact that he's talking to grown men who are his age or maybe a little bit younger. We don't exactly know, but they're somewhere around there. And he calls them little children. And the only reason you can do that is because you have the kind of authority that Jesus has. And he's coming to them, showing them his love and his care and his concern for them. And so he says this out of love. The word for troubled there, we see in verse 1 of chapter 14 and back in verse 27, has the idea of being agitated or stirred up. I read once about a contest in which artists were to submit a painting that would display peace, that would somehow communicate peace to those who looked at the painting. And so all sorts of entries came in, and there were all sorts of, you know, paintings of the countryside, because that's peaceful, right? We enjoy that. Here, there were paintings of beautiful sunsets, but the prize went to an artist who painted a bird who was happy in its nest, and the bird looked perfectly content, but the nest was on a branch, snug inside a branch, that stuck out over a roaring waterfall. That's peace. The idea that Jesus is talking about here is not a peace that is dependent on outward circumstances, but it's a peace that lives above our circumstances. But here's the thing. Like I said, this is hard to do, isn't it? So what are some practical ways that we cannot let our hearts be troubled, like Jesus tells us to do? How do we do this? I want to give you two ideas. First, we can find this peace by meditating on the promises of God. That's what I was doing when I was having those issues, as I would quote this verse to myself, trying to remind myself and meditate on the promises of God. Remember what we saw earlier in Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep him in perfect peace," talking to God, "whose mind is stayed on you." In our scripture reading, here's another thing you can do. We had Philippians 4:6 read to us, and I'm going to read just that one verse again. We read a few verses in Philippians 4, and I want you to notice how the antidote given there for anxiety and fear is prayer, and guess what else? Thanksgiving tied into that prayer. So often I have noticed, as I've prayed with God's people over the years, if you know God and you're trusting in him, this is beautiful. Just look for it the next time that you're praying together with some other believers. Thanksgiving just naturally comes out of us. And that's not natural. It's natural because the Holy Spirit is in us. And so we are able to give thanksgiving even in horrible circumstances. And that's part of the pathway to peace. Listen to what it says in Philippians 4:6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving," there it is, "let your requests be made known to God." And then verse 7, Philippians 4, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is power in prayer. There is power in coming to God with our concerns and with our worries and with the struggles that are making our hearts troubled, like Jesus says here. And we can pray and bring our urgent requests to God with thanksgiving. Just to give you one more verse, I could give you verse after verse where we see prayer with thanksgiving. Look in the Psalms and you'll see this all over the place. Colossians 3:15 is another time we see this. It says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. What an incredible promise of peace we have in Jesus. When I was in the middle of just starting to really struggle that first semester with these panic attacks, that first Sunday that we were going to go back to church, I didn't know if I wanted to go to church. I thought it might be better to rest it at home, but there wasn't any reason I couldn't. The doctor hadn't given me any restrictions. I was going to work. And so I got in the car to go to church, and I still remember as I was thinking through sharing this with you, I remember it because it was so painful and difficult to accept what was going on. I remember we got near the church, and I said to Melanie, she was driving, I said, I don't know if I can do this. I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen. And she was patient, like she so often is, and just said, you know, let's just go, and if we need to step out, you can step out. And I was sitting there in church that day, and this is the song that day that somebody sang. Listen to this. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Listen to the rest of that song. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear. And resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leads, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let's pray and ask him for that peace. God, as we close in prayer and as we sing to you, I just pray that our hearts would go out to you and that we would pray to you even as we sing, that you would work in our hearts and show us, Lord, maybe there's people here this morning who need to enter into that peace for the first time and say, God, I'm tired of trying to win the war. I need to realize that Jesus won the war for me, and I need to trust in him alone for my peace with God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the gospel, help us to receive the good news that the gospel is, that Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead to give us peace with you. Lord, also as we go through life, we just confess to you like you want us to, like we see the psalmist so often do. We struggle, Lord, with this. Just like I was sharing earlier, this is a difficult thing to do. We read Jesus's words and we know that it's possible, but God, even today, so many things in our world, so many things in our own hearts threaten to take this peace away from us. And so I pray that you would help us to just walk with you day by day. Help us to grow, Lord, in this peace, in claiming this inheritance that we have for you, that you've won for us on the cross, until that day that we enter true peace in heaven, physically in your presence with you and with those who have died in Jesus before us, Lord. Until then, help us to always continue to grow and pursue this peace in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, as you come to lead us in singing, I just want to remind you that we are always available to talk to you about a prayer request. I know that it's hard to hold on to this peace. And so if you have a specific prayer need that you need prayer for today, I invite you to come to me. I'll be outside. I can point you towards others even who could pray with you. Or if you want to know more about the gospel, how to know this peace with Jesus and know him for the first time, we'll sing a closing song and then we'll be dismissed.
Let's stand together for this last song.
Oh, how he loves you and me. His love for sinners to show.